This is Rusty Tanton.
And Amber Ray.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that can tell you the difference between a wood thrush and a brown thrasher. Today is July 16th. Yesterday, Amber and I went on a bird walk through Piedmont Park with Jennifer Herman, Piedmont Park Conservancy's Director of Environmental Education.
First of all, Jennifer, you led the bird walk, so why bird walks? How long have you been doing this? Tell us all about it.
Okay, well, I first started watching birds in 1998 in college. I had a natural history field class out in California and fell in love with the idea that there are so many birds you can't never identify them in your whole lifetime. So it became kind of a hunt for me, and it's very exciting for me to be able to identify, key out a bird, and figure out what it is. And everywhere you go in this great country, you will see tons of different types of species. Doesn't matter where you are, something is always different. So it's important for lay people such as ourselves, who aren't necessarily scientists, to be out in nature looking at birds, recording what we see, so we can transmit those ideas to scientists, because they want to know who is where, what they're doing, what type of behavior. It helps them with migration patterns. It helps them with breeding locations. They get an idea of how the birds interact when they're on their migrating routes, because sometimes they act a whole lot differently in terms of who they interact with. So what we see with our eyes can be a huge help for them research-wise. So they can't all be out there with their eyes on everything all the time. And birds are such an observable species, everyone can do it.
How often do you do these bird walks?
Once a month. We do it every third Saturday of the month currently. And we have them scheduled I believe we have them scheduled through September right now.
What differences do you notice depending on what time of year you're out there?
Well, I did notice that when we began these walks in May that we were seeing a lot of beautifully colored, very bright plumaged birds who were just getting started with their nesting season. So you saw a lot of different activity. And because the birds were trying to compete for mates, their colors were just phenomenally bright and vibrant. And when they're working to collect their nest, they go through a whole bunch of courtship displays, song patterns that they don't normally display during their other times of the year. Whereas today, as you saw, we saw a whole bunch of drab birds, a lot of birds that were looking to molt into their winter or alternate plumage, and they were doing different things, such as feeding younglings. They were perhaps sitting on tall tops of branches, not concerned about breeding because they've already done it for the year. So the behaviors are different, and it can tell you where they're at in their cycle. Are they about to migrate? Are they about to molt? Are they about to nest again? Some birds nest more than once a season, like that wren that we saw busy.
How many species of bird would you say are in the park at any given time of the year?
My goodness. Well, I did show you guys the list we have here of the bird checklist of simply Atlanta, what is known as Metro Atlanta. There's at least...
That is a huge list.
Yeah.
400 perhaps on
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
And as far as Piedmont Park, I imagine we see a good chunk of them, but I would really have to go through and check them off myself. I've only worked here since February. If you give me a year, I can tell you a little bit more of what we've got on a regular basis. And like I said, Piedmont Park is special because it's a huge green space right in the center of urban Atlanta. And as migrating species go through in the spring and the fall, we get a lot of stopovers in the water at the lake, a lot of stopovers in the forest. So the rare species are quite abundant here.
What other kinds of programs do you conduct here in the park for people?
Okay, well, for example, later this morning, I have a program called Saturday Safari. I do that every first and third Saturday of the month with children ages 5 through 12. And every time we lead a class, it's on a different theme. Today's theme happens to be about butterflies. So we'll do some natural history learning with the kids, as well as a hike through the park. They'll do some hands-on art and science projects on the theme. In addition to that, we run a summer camp here for 10 weeks, and we have kids ages 5 through 12 as well. We accept up to 100 campers a week, so it's quite busy, quite active.
I guess they made all this stuff that's on
the
walls here.
They made all this stuff on the walls.
There's a lot of arts and crafts on the walls.
You can see how decorative it is in here, but also how very clean, so you can tell
yeah.
I have a good staff.
Yes.
we also have been increasing in numbers, which is positive. We started out kind of low because we got slow out of the gates this year, but our numbers in camp have really gone up, and it's been quite successful. What else? We do school field trips throughout the year for kids kindergarten through fifth grade and even on into high school for those who are interested. And those are operated on a Monday through Friday basis with myself. And we're also looking to start a scouting program in the afternoons next year.
Sounds like you're really busy.
I am really busy, that's true.
As for the, back to the bird walks in particular, what kind of people do you usually get coming? People who are experienced with birding or not, or?
Well, the good news about our bird walks is that they're getting more popular and new faces are coming out each time. This is only our third bird walk.
Okay.
Our first bird walk consisted only of master birders and myself,
okay,
who had started the idea of the walk. And so we had a wonderful time together, don't get me wrong, but we were sad to not see any fresh faces. Last walk that was led by Georgianne Schmal, she is the president of the Audubon Society here in Atlanta, and she is extremely well-versed in her songs and calls, and so birding with her is an exceptional experience. She probably saw a whole bunch of other things with her ears than with her eyes, and they had about 40 people turn out for that. Probably a lot of experience. 40 people, 40.
Wow.
Yeah, so we went from 4 to 40 in the matter of a month, which is great. She probably drew a lot of that herself just by her name. So you probably had a whole bunch of experienced birders who wanted to come with her, and probably a fair amount of lucky beginners who got a chance to really get a sight in the park with her. Today, let's see. I felt that we had maybe two or three beginners, and probably the majority of people were anywhere between novice birder and pretty advanced birder. Mm-hmm. So that's good to see. I like having people who have experience. Any more teachers we can add to the group, including myself and the Audubon Society, is always good.
We're pretty much beginners. I mean, I love birds, but I mean, I can't point
out a little more than I do.
Every species.
I think if you love birds and you're looking at them already, you're more than a beginner.
Okay.
So,
and I have
give
finches.
Some credit.
I have finches at home, so I have little zebra finches at home.
Oh,
so
right.
I
there you go. So you're already learning about their behavior, their postures, and
you're
eons beyond what a person who's never looked at really birds before is at. So you're doing great.
Now I'm just lastly here. I'm a little concerned about the baby mockingbird we saw. What do you think is going to happen to him?
You know, unfortunately, the problem we saw today is not a new one. It's not a fresh one. Fledglings is what we call a baby bird that's getting its flight feathers, getting ready to leave the nest. What we saw today was not a fledgling. He had more than 50% down on his body. His primary feathers weren't out yet. He wasn't ready to fly, obviously. He wasn't ready to feed himself. His mouth was still wide and gapish like a baby bird. So the parents obviously were upset, still watching that bird. They obviously fall from their nests quite a lot. That wasn't a rare case. The parents keep an eye on their birds when they do that, obviously. You can see that that's
the case. They were swooping all around us.
They were all around us right on the minute we got near that bird, they were on us. So
I tried to put him back in the tree, and then he just jumped right back out.
Or fell.
And if you see a baby bird out in nature, if you're in a native area, we like to encourage people to not touch the animal, leave them right where they are. If you can get it up off the ground, you can try. But again, more often or not, beginners tend to hurt the bird when they try to hold it for the first time. So when they fall, leave them right where they are. Don't try to take them to anybody. A human will not ever be able to do as much as the mom or dad could do for that bird. So leave it on the ground. They're not being abandoned. They will be cared for. But again, when you see a bird on the ground that is more than 60% down, or rather more than 60% flight feathers, they're a fledgling, and they're supposed to be out of the nest trying things out.
Okay.
And they don't want to be put back up in a tree. And so you're going to see this throughout the year, and people think they always want to help, but they're really not helping by bringing them away from their moms and dads.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be out there being birds.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of the fate of nature, too. Not all the birds make it. And it's kind of a sad reality for beginners to realize that that's just how nature works. And some birds make it, some birds don't, which is why they have more than one baby, why they have more than one clutch.
Right. Okay, well, do you want to just, in closing here, kind of pitch where people can find out more information, what they can do here at the park, and why they should come here?
Sure can. You've only got a little bit of it from me in the Environmental Education Department. We have a number of things going on in the park for every interest, and you can find out anything that's going on in the park at our website at www.piedmontpark.org. And the calendar is always changing. If you're interested in getting on our email list, we send out e-blasts every month for upcoming events. And another thing I'd like to point out that's going on right outside this door is Green Market. It's a very successful farmers market here every Saturday from 9 to 1. So come check it out.
All right, cool. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you know a Georgia band or a hippie with a guitar that would like to have their music featured in a podcast, have them contact us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com. This way, the ending of the shows won't seem so abrupt.